Good morning. Today's scripture reading is from Luke 15. It's on page 78 in the New Testament in your pew Bible, if you want to follow. We're going to start with verses 1 through 3 and then switch over to 11. Now, you're all very familiar with this scripture. This is the prodigal son scripture, which Earl is going to preach on in just a little bit, and it'll follows right along with the children's message that you just heard. That wonderful, wonderful grace of forgiveness. So I'm going to be reading from Luke 15. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to him, and the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus said, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of the property that will belong to me.' So he divided his property between them. A few days later, the younger son gathered all he had and traveled to a distant country. And there he squandered his property in dissolute living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout the country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. He would gladly have filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself and he said, 'How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough and to spare? And here I am dying of hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.' So he set off and went to his father. But while he was still far away, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran out and put his arms around him and kissed him. Then the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his slaves, 'Quickly, bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. And get the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they all began to celebrate. Now his elder son was in the field, and when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the slaves and asked what was going on. He replied, 'Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has got him back safe and sound.' Then he became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him. But he answered his father, 'Listen, for all these years I have been working like a slave for you, and I have never disobeyed your command. Yet you have never given me even a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came back, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him.' Then the father said to him, 'Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and now has been found.'" Praise be to God.
I want to share with you that I came across that hymn at a conference that I was at recently. I just loved the words to it and said, we need to introduce that here at First Pres. Wonderful. Thank you for doing that for us. Before I get into my sermon, I have a couple of preacher jokes, or one of them was a pretty bad preacher joke, but anyway, let's see how it goes. An Irish priest is visiting in the States, and he's stopped for speeding on the highway by a highway patrolman, and when the patrolman asks him for his license, he smells alcohol on the priest's breath. And he says to the priest, "Have you been drinking?" And "Just water," the priest replies. "And why do I smell wine?" the patrolman asks. And looking down at the bottle, the priest says, "Good Lord, he's done it again." Walking into a bar, the man said to the bartender, "Pour me a stiff one, Charlie. Just had another row with the little woman." "Oh, yes," says the barkeep. "And how did that one come out?" And he said, "Well, when it was over," replied the man, "she came to me on her hands and knees." "Really?" said Charlie. "Now that's a switch. What did she say?" "She said, 'Come out from under that bed, you chicken.'" Yeah, we heard Lynn talk about forgiveness, and that's what I'm going to talk about today. So let us pray. Gracious God, indeed, we come before you as people in need of your forgiveness. We have not always done what you would have us to do. We've turned away sometimes when you would have us to do something. And Lord, we pray that as we gather here that you would talk to us and that you would let us know how gracious you are and how much you love us, how you extend forgiveness to us, how you want us to forgive one another and accept that forgiveness from you as well. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. This season of Lent is a time when we journey with Jesus towards Jerusalem and that cross that waits for him there. Lent always begins in the desert of temptation on that first Sunday of Lent as Jesus is tempted by the devil. Then we learn that sin is a part of human life. And last week, Pastor Mike talked about repentance, about our need to change our lives, to repent from the sin that is within us. Today, we consider forgiveness, and there's four questions before us this day that I want you to consider. The first one is, where am I in this story about what we know as the prodigal son? Where am I in this story? And then next, am I in need of forgiveness? Am I in need of forgiveness? And then third, am I willing to accept forgiveness? To accept forgiveness. And finally, am I willing to forgive as well? History has given this text the name, the parable of the prodigal son. It is a name that first appeared in the margins of 16th century English Bibles, and it just stuck there. But it's not really a story just about a prodigal son or even about a younger and an older son. A much better name would be this parable of the loving father, for it is the loving father who is central to the text. The story even begins, "There was once a man who had two sons." This is a story about broken, even dead relationships and how forgiveness and grace restores those broken relationships. This is a story about us, sinners, whether we be raucous and rebellious like that younger son or self-righteous and jealous like the older son, somewhere all of us are included. You see, this is our story. This is a story without an ending. It's an open-ended story that calls out to us to put ourselves into the story and supply our own ending. The story begins with brokenness. The younger son asking the father for the property that normally would be his only upon his father's death. The son is in effect saying to the father that he wishes that his father were dead. Amazingly, the father agrees and divides the property. He even allows the younger son to sell what has been given to him, an action that would have been unheard of. By rights, the proceeds from that father's estate should be used to care for the father until he died. But the son sells his property, and then he leaves town and travels to a distant land to seek his own fortune. The world today is a small place with mass transportation and worldwide communication systems, and it's hard for us to understand this first century story. There will be no letters home. There will be no phone calls in the night. There will be no text messages, no request to be his friend on Facebook, no tweets, whatever a tweet is. I still haven't figured that one out. And there will be no weekend vacations to the old farmstead. It would be like the son or daughter who moved away and changed their name and became untraceable, unreachable, for all intents and purposes, dead. The man no longer has a younger son. The older son no longer has a brother. And new relationships are not easy to establish, especially for a Jewish boy in a Gentile country far from home. What money he has is soon gone, wasted on extravagances by an inexperienced young man. We're not told at this point about any immoral behavior. In fact, it's later in the story that the older son charges that this man devoured his father's money on prostitutes, a charge that reveals more about the character of the older son than the younger one. A natural disaster, famine, makes it even harder. He sinks lower and lower in the mire. And there can be no lower state for a Jew than to be put in charge of feeding pigs for a Gentile. Maybe some of you are about my age and you remember a movie, a comedy called No Time for Sergeants. Do you remember that movie? A couple of you do. Well, this is worse than permanent latrine duty, being feeding pigs for a Gentile. It's worse than having to clean your room for you young folks. Even for me, it's the pits, really, the pits. Here in the hell of his own choosing, he comes to himself. The first stage of repentance, he admits his sins, and I have sinned against my Father and against heaven. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son, and he sets off for home. Repentance, you see, must also include confession. Now we witness the amazing love of the Father, not in words, at least not yet, but in actions and deeds. Eastern men wearing flowing robes never run anywhere. Aristotle said, great men never run in public. It's so very undignified in Eastern eyes for an older man to run. Yet the text says, the father was filled with compassion for the son who he saw at a great distance, and he ran to meet him. Just imagine this pasture land with hills all around this little village, and there's a young man coming in the distance, probably barely recognizable. He's all dirty, he's tattered, he's wearing rags, hasn't washed in no God knows when. But this father sees him and he recognizes him and he runs to meet him with his robes flying. And that son has to be taken aback at just the sight of his father coming. He was expecting hostility, even total rejection, but now the father reaches him and embraces him in a big hug, a big bear hug. The Greek says literally that he fell upon his neck. He fell upon his neck. And then he kisses him again and again on a cheek like Middle Eastern men will do. A sign of reconciliation and forgiveness. Even before the son can make his speech of repentance, his father has offered total forgiveness. He never asks his son, what have you done? Or how did you squander my money? Instead, he orders the servants to bring out his own best robe and put it on him, a sign that the servants are to also accept him back as a master, as being welcomed as an honored member of the family. And he tells them to put a ring on his finger, a sign of trust and authority, and to place shoes on his bare feet, a sign that he is a free man. And without a word to the son, The Father, through his actions, has completely restored him to the relationship as son. This is total forgiveness. This is pure grace. Karl Barth says, grace means forgiveness of sins. Grace is forgiveness of sins. Many years ago, I was a member of the Health and AIDS Committee of our presbytery. There were two women who mirror this loving, forgiving Father in many ways. They were mothers whose sons came home one day and confessed, "Mother, I am infected with the virus that causes AIDS." They were mothers who immediately threw their arms around their sons and hugged them and kissed them. Mothers who never asked how or why, but instead worked diligently to help not only their sons, but others who were infected by this terrible disease as well. Maybe some of you who've been active in presbytery things for a while remember Dora Carrera. What a saint she truly was in our presbytery and in our denomination for that matter. And I believe the actions of the Father are often repeated here by our church. I've seen you time and again welcome with open arms strangers into our midst, some who are obviously not far from the pig style of life. Love, grace, forgiveness, the qualities exhibited here by the loving Father. But are there times or circumstances when we have not been willing to forgive? Have we sometimes held a grudge against another, not been willing to accept them for whatever reason? This is first and foremost a story about love, grace, and forgiveness, forgiveness of sins. And if it stopped right here with the younger son, we could easily put it out of mind and write it off simply as a good story about a loving father and a wayward son who only a few of us can really identify with. But there is more to the story. There is the bit about the elder son who stays home, who never went anywhere, who never left the church, who never turned his back on God, and yet in his own way, he too has broken relationship with the Father. He begins his speech in verse 25 without the proper title of respect, saying Father, but simply with the harsh words, "Listen, listen," as he refuses to love his brother whom he spitefully calls this your son. And then he says, "Not once did I break your commandment." He says this as he shows disrespect to the Father. What does that tell you? He has a huge chip on his shoulder. He is unforgiving, not willing to forgive. The Father used actions to demonstrate his grace and love and forgiveness for the younger son. And here the Father uses kind words to do the same. He says to him, "Son," literally, my child, you are always with me. We are close relationship together. All that is mine is yours. You're not a servant here. You are my son. This is your brother. The older son never left town, but at this moment in time, he too is dead. He disclaims sonship, he disclaims brotherhood, he is unforgiving, but we don't know how the story ends. The father goes out and finds both sons. One understands and accepts the grace that is offered. He who is lost is found. The other, the older son, is left standing outside the family home as inside the celebration goes on. Will he enter in? Will he accept the grace and forgiveness that's offered to him? How will it end? Will the Pharisees and the scribes who are grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them," will they accept the grace that God is offering them in Jesus Christ? Well, we who have turned our back on God, we who have lived rebellious and raucous lives, we who have been faithful, we who attend worship every Sunday, we who still carry that chip on our shoulder for whatever reason. In this parable, many would say that the loving, forgiving Father represents God and God's grace and love for us, and this is certainly so. But also in this setting, with Jesus eating with sinners and being scolded by scribes and Pharisees, the Father represents Jesus. Jesus not only offers forgiveness of sins to those who are total outsiders, but he also is reaching out to the church, insiders, the Pharisees and scribes, with loving words of grace. You have always been with me. Everything I have is yours. Understood in this way, there are really three places in this story that we can be. We can be like that younger, rebellious son, or like the older and righteous son, or even we can be like those scribes and Pharisees. But Jesus would truly have us to become like him, like the loving Father, like Jesus. So what should we do about the unforgiving one in our midst? We must go out to them as the Father did. It is up to each of us to seek the one who is lost. Then we are to say to them, "My brother, my dear sister, you don't make it easy, but I love you and I care for you and I pray for you and my dear," and this is the hardest part, "everything I have is yours." Everything I have is yours. Perhaps not, but with the help of Jesus, everything is possible. This is who we truly are. We are brothers and sisters of Jesus Christ who know that God has forgiven us, and we graciously offer forgiveness to others, walking them home into the Father's house. Now I want to do the questions again, Doc. We began by asking ourselves these questions. Where am I in this story? Where are you? Am I in need of forgiveness? Am I willing to accept forgiveness? And finally, am I willing to forgive? We've received gracious forgiveness of our Father God through Jesus Christ. We must accept the forgiveness offered to us before we can continue on this journey during this Lent season towards the cross. And we must forgive those who have sinned against us. How will our story end? How will our story end? Let's join together, and this is what we believe. This is what I believe.